What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Phones and ticket text Lions, you know who, you know when. Saturday night, the Commanders come to town. Best and worst part of this matchup and how you're feeling overall. The spread has the Lions favored by 8.5. And ticket texters are saying that feels light. Texter says, in my opinion, 8.5 is too low. I feel like we should be favored by a lot more. Doesn't it feel like we're going to end up discoing by the end of the week? Like,
there's just
the way
chance.
That we're talking. Like, I mean, because... Yeah. 8.5 is a statement, and another person points out, Vegas suggests we should face punch this team into submission, LFG, Jeff, and Petoskey. I mean, there is a reason to feel good.
There is, and it's the body of work that the Lions have put together. We talked about this after they, you know, dismantled the Minnesota Vikings in the final game of the regular season. Not all 14-win teams are built the same. And yeah, okay, they may have a good defense. They may have, you know, some receivers. I'm talking about the Vikings. They may have the best receiver in the NFL. But to get to where they were not tested and forged like this Lions team, who was playing a first-place schedule. The Vikings were playing a last-place schedule. They got to the end of the season, and they showed exactly what it looks like when you are continually pressed to play your best football. And even though you don't play your best, but you're forced to find different ways, multiple ways of winning games. That's what the Lions showed in that final week. They're a 15-2 win team. They are the number one seed, and you're going to play a wild card team with a rookie quarterback.
Look, there's a lot of reasons to like it. Their run defense is terrible. It's a rookie quarterback going on the road second week in a row. Lisa from Redford points out another added benefit. Excited for the Commanders, I can recover from the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Saturday night's going to be a lively one in the city of Detroit. Nor ticket text, 248-539-9797, and your phone calls. Jim and McComb, you're on 97.1.
Guys, maybe it's PTSD. Maybe it's realism. Maybe it's negativity. I don't know. I think we can't just sidestep the Commanders. I think this has historically been one of those games where we get against a running quarterback, a dynamic quarterback, a team that has something to prove, and we need to step up. We can't just, okay, what's going next? The Eagles, okay, great. I'm a little nervous, no lie.
There needs to certainly be a healthy respect for any opponent you're going to play in the playoffs. They did enough to win, and they won 12 games. Let's not underestimate the fact that this is a Washington team that won 12 games. Now, they played Dallas twice, and you know their division, they played the Giants twice. So, again, a 12-win team built the way they're built and having played the games that they played, not the same as a 15-win Detroit team.
I agree. And they just knocked off Tampa with a field goal, right? I mean, it was a close game.
Yeah.
Tampa's owned us too a little bit, right? I mean, it's one of those things where I feel like we're going into this just thinking about the next game, and I feel, again, PTSD, I've been around a minute. This is one of those games where we really can't just overlook it. I think we really need to buckle down. Hopefully we can get some good run stop, and again, Montgomery coming back, we'll be able to cram it down their throats, but I just don't want to overlook it, right?
Yeah, listen, I mean, the team's not going to overlook it. They're going to put a full week in. An extra day compared to the Commanders in terms of head-to-head game prep.
But let's be honest. You should be confident going into this game, not scared.
Yeah. No, there shouldn't be any fear. I mean, respect, I think, is the word you use, John. But there
healthy
shouldn't be
respect.
Any fear. Yeah. Okay, he mentioned mobile quarterback. It's going to be a huge talking point all week long. Who have the Lions played in terms of mobile quarterbacks?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, for sure. Anthony Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Kyler Murray. Those would be the three mobile QBs they faced this season. 2-1 in those games. They held Murray and the Cardinals to 13 points. They held Richardson and the Colts to 6. And yeah, they got their ass handed to them by Josh Allen, who scored 48 points. But this isn't Josh Allen coming to town this week. I mean, Jaden Daniels had a great rookie season. Let's not make him Josh Allen.
Right. Let's not make him Josh Allen. Let's not make him Lamar Jackson. He has some of those qualities.
Yeah.
But he's not built like Lamar Jackson. When Lamar Jackson runs more like a running back when he gets past the line of scrimmage and can shed sacks. I mean, there was a play where, Jaden Daniels got to the sidelines and one of the Tampa defenders kind of let up and hit him. And I know, Jaden Daniels was off balance, but laid him out. You're not laying out Lamar Jackson. You're not laying out Josh Allen.
Right.
Like, there is a difference in how those guys are made. Now, skill sets, there's some similarities. There's no question. And, he doesn't need to run for 200 yards, but when you run and you pick up key first downs, that's worrisome.
Let's get to Herb in Detroit. You're on 97.1. What's going on? Good morning.
What up, fellas? Listen, man, I'm starting off today in the beginning. All these naysayers, like the guy just called the phone, oh, I'm scared, this and that. No, this is the number one seed. The Lions have proved over and over this season that no matter what adversity they face, they're going to be ready to play. No, dog, they're going to lose to Minnesota because Minnesota is on the road. No, they beat Minnesota. Cut Minnesota out the end zone. I don't think there's no way that Dan Campbell and this staff is going to, and these guys know how to be ready. I don't think there's no way they're going to let a rookie quarterback come in the fourth field in that atmosphere and beat them, man. So I don't want to hear all the naysayers and all the disclaimers this week. Let's be happy that we got the number one seed, and let's root for these guys to do what they're going to do. I'm not for all the naysayers and the scary people. If you're going to be scary, stay off the radio. Be scared in your home and do what you got to do.
Check under your bed before you go to sleep. Inside your closet.
Right, exactly.
Let the rest of us.
Door, right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Herb, I like the phone call and I like the mentality. Listen, hey, you got a right to feel the way you feel today. I don't understand the people who are afraid. I don't understand the people who are nervous. I don't understand the people who have any other approach besides they're winning this football game.
Well, okay. I can understand those that feel nervous. This is a new situation. All right, being the number one seed, having the bye week, and you've had a lot of time to sit there and let evil thoughts creep into your head. But all you need to do is turn on the film of both the Commanders and the Lions and watch them play. One is not like the other. This is a football game, and there's going to be a winner and a loser. It doesn't mean that the Lions are going to go out there and play perfect or that they can't make mistakes and cost themselves an opportunity. It happens. So to say that you're nervous, that's why I say a healthy respect. You got to respect your opponent at all times, even if it's the regular season. I don't care if it's the Titans or the Jags, whatever. You got to respect your opponent. So you go out there and you play to the level that you are known to be able to play to, not like the Bucks who played to the level of their opponent.
I think the nerves comes from the stakes. Mm. People know how good this team is, how much that this can be the year that they cash in and win the Super Bowl. And that creates the nerves. What if it's not? What if this happens? Like, that's where this nerves is coming from.
And you mentioned the stakes. You lose, you're done. Mm. All right? It's not week two, you lose to the Bucks and you've got 15 games to make up and get better. You lose, you're done. So the stakes do certainly add a little bit of nervous energy.
You know, I think people it's just any given Sunday. You know, that they think it can happen. The Lions, because of their dominant season with 15 wins and having the one seed, this is all new to them. Like, I think people will go to the Packers in 2011, the team TJ played on, that was 15-1. Well, they were coming off a Super Bowl, and they played the Giants, who had a propensity and a track record from 07 of beating New England and all that. Like, I just don't see the track record here for the Commanders to do it. But there are examples of this occasionally where you have this dominant regular season team that loses this game. And I think those maybe are some of the people out there.
Yeah, but this is actually perfectly timed to Ticket Text. You brought in, it's the top of the sheet. Nick in Livonia addresses this. He says there are only 9 teams to ever win 15 or more regular season games. The Lions are one of 9. The Chiefs are another this year. So we're really working with 7 before this season. 6 of the 7 made the Super Bowl. I think the one would be the TJ Lang Aaron Rodgers Packers.
Mm-hmm. And TJ told us about a month ago, he said that team had suffered through some personal losses in their life. I know Joe Philbin, the OC, had a loss, and there was something else going on too. You know, and the fact is they had come off a Super Bowl, and then they had a 15-1 dominant year and complacency. The Lions are not going to be complacent going into this game.
No, and to wrap the stat up, I think it says the six that made the Super Bowl, three of them won it. Like, you are talking about a team that is in that conversation. You're making it. You're going to be right there to win it. I mean, the idea that the Commanders would trip them up, my brain can't comprehend that. I mean, I know it can happen, but everything about this matchup screams Lions roll. Everything about this means Lions are winning.
We live in a world, S happens. Yeah. S happens in sports, and I really think that's the only way here, because there's a couple examples in my life where I know the Jags went into Denver and won in 96, I think it was. And then before the Broncos had won their two Super Bowls with Elway, the Jags went on to be a good team those few years. They went, Greg referenced earlier, they'd gone into Buffalo, that stat you had earlier.
Yeah.
I know the Niners back in Montana's heyday, they were 15-1, and the Vikings, an 8-7 Viking team, went in there and beat them. You know, so stuff happens, but you're talking less than 10% here.
Lions phone calls, Red Wings talk. We'll mix that in coming up next. How about this team that's won 7 games in a row?
Mm.
It's the best win streak the Red Wings have had in more than a decade. Are the playoffs on the brain? We'll mix in the Wings this hour. TJ Lang coming up at 9:02. And we've got Overreact Gyms before the hour ends as well. It's 97.1. Moran Chevrolet is officially Michigan's number one selling Chevy dealer for 2024. We're not going to tell you about anybody who's not the best. It's Moran Chevrolet, and they're celebrating with awesome deals all month long. So get off the sidelines and get into the game with Moran Chevrolet, where you can lease a 2025 Blazer, $299 a month. It's a 24-month lease, $999 down. Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price. Period. Score your best deal, MoranExpress.com. You can shop online or stop out in person. They're on Gratiot north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. This is so much fun. This hockey team is so much fun. New life for a new year. And it feels like the playoffs are very much on the table. Playoffs on the brain. This team's playing better now than at any point last season. And John, they've undone. They've dug themselves out of what was a catastrophic start. They fired the coach, and McClellan has come in. They're 7-1 since the change with 7 straight wins.
Yeah, and that one was, I mean, what was he on the job, 24 hours?
Yeah, and he said, I'm not making any changes. I'm just observing. I'm going to take notes.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how much he observed in one day.
Listen, he's a guy who's won a President's Trophy. He's coached as an assistant in Detroit before. He's coached a ton of hockey. He's experienced, and he came in and gave him a kick in the pants. And I think they wanted that, by the way. This team has responded with, yes, please, give us structure. Give us coaching. Get on us. Make some tweaks. And I guess our question to you guys today is, do you have playoffs on the brain?
Well, they could wake up. We could wake up Wednesday morning. And they could be in that final wild card spot. That's how close they are, or at least tied for that final wild card spot with a game in hand.
Have you bought all the way back in? I mean, you know where I'm at. I'm all the way bought in.
Oh, sure.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Well, okay. I'll ask you a question in a minute. See how much you're actually, are you willing to put your money where your mouth is?
You're going to test me?
I'm going to test you.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm bought in. It's and I'm bought in for maybe different reasons, maybe some superficial reasons. Other than the fact that we have a team that is just winning, we have a team that is now fun to watch. They're doing things that are just fun. They're skating better. They're putting the puck, you know, in the net, but they're at least putting shots on goal.
Yeah.
Like before, we had talked about 11 shots on goal and they win the game. Like, it was a painful, boring watch. And now it's fun, they're skating with energy, and it feels like there's purpose. And when we see periods, they're not going to be perfect, and I know in coming up in the overreactions, you have one that seems a little ridiculous, and I know it was just somewhat to create a conversation, but they will lose games.
Yeah,
they're not going to play from here to the end of the season undefeated hockey. But when they do have a period that is subpar, they fix it, they address it, and it doesn't mean they're going to win every game. I don't even know if they're going to be 500 by the end of the season, but at least they're addressing things that seem common to some of us that aren't, you know, hockey nerds, but they are addressing what needs to be addressed, and that's what McClellan has brought to this team, and accountability.
People want to know, when does the new coach bump end, and when does the real hockey team cement themselves? Like, is this who they really are? I'm not going to put lipstick on a pig, but I also don't think they were as bad as they were back in November and December.
Yeah.
You know, there's this thought, it's Yzerman's rosters to blame and Lalonde. Well, I think Yzerman could have been more urgent in the offseason. I thought it was a flat summer. They were basically a playoff team last year. So if you have a flat summer,
should be a playoff team.
Again, this season, and it felt like they underachieved at the end of last year. So if McClellan coached them a year ago, they may have been a playoff team. So even if they didn't get significantly better, even if there are still some roster limitations, I feel like he's going to get the most out of this group, and that means playoff hockey back in the Motor City.
So under Lalonde, they scored 88 goals in 34 games. Since then, they've scored 33 goals in 8 games. That includes McClellan's first game. They lost to the Maple Leafs 5-2. They were down 5-0. And I think, first off, I'm going to say something about the coach bump. You know what the coach bump does? The first thing about the coach bump is you're supposed to bet on the team that hires a coach for the very first game. And I think maybe McClellan, what he did in that first game was he sat back and watched what he had in front of him. You know, the goals, I brought them up. Under Lalonde this year, they averaged just under 2.6. It's like 2.59 something.
Yeah, bad.
Under McClellan so far, it's 4.1. They're averaging scoring more than a goal and a half per game. How did that change? Like, I think it's almost indicting of Yzerman of keeping Lalonde that long. It's like, what was it? Anything other than patience and respect?
Yeah, I mean,
because to see this vicious of a turn, that's, you know how much a goal and a half is in season? Sample size might be too small.
Well, that's the thing. We're 8 games,
games is starting to get,
and the offense is noticing. That's the other thing. Use your eyes. You don't have to be a hockey savant to watch what's happening right now. They had 6 goals yesterday from 6 different players. John, that's what we were talking about last year, was how deep their scoring was. It wasn't like one guy had to be the engine of the team. And Larkin really did have it on his shoulders early in the year. And he's scoring, but it's not just him. It's Kane. It's DeBrincat. You know, it's also some of these defensemen. They lost Gostisbehere, right?
Yeah. Eric Gostisbehere.
I know. I still remember jumping up and saving the puck at the blue line. They lost Gostisbehere, right? And the idea was you're going to lose some puck-moving defensemen. They also lost Wallman. Well, recently we've seen Gustafsson activate the offense a little bit. And we've seen Albert Johansson, a rookie, activating some offense, scored his first career goal on Friday, assisted in a couple on Sunday. If you're getting a little more out of some guys that you weren't getting anything out of, you can replace Wallman and Gostisbehere, keep the scoring going, get this team back in the mix. They still don't have a solidified number one goalie. They still don't have a great up the middle, deep center group, but they've got enough scoring. They're lethal on the power play, and they're, are they at least a playoff team? Guys, realize what that says. That's 16th. Are they one of the 16 best hockey teams? No one's saying they're hoisting the Stanley Cup, but it's
top
clear
half.
They've saved their season.
Well, they're 15th in the East, though. So we have to applaud what they've done.
I'm not taking away from it at all.
They weren't the worst team in the league. They're second worst, like they were trending as.
Yeah.
I honestly, the night and day switch here, I think there's enough of a sample size. Like, I'm scratching my head. I don't know if I've seen something like this around here, whether, you know, I guess we have.
If Tigers baseball.
Yeah. Well, they're not doing some crazy pitching thing, you know? It just clicked. And it's also like the Lions in 2022, where all of a sudden it just clicked. Was it? And it was that simple of just changing the voice and the style you play. They look completely different. They look like they don't look at all like the team that they were.
But do they not look like the team that they looked like last year when they were a playoff team?
I think they look slightly better than last year's
right.
6-game win streak in February or whatever it was.
And now this is 7. They got San Jose on Tuesday. That's a very winnable game at home. That would be 8. I think the franchise record, and guys, I might be wrong on this. I thought I saw 9 in a row is the franchise record. Like, they are tracking to do something very special right now. By the way, you were going to test me with something?
Yes. We all live by a certain set of rules in our daily lives, but also in our sports lives. And I have one for, I have a question for you because you're a Red Wings season ticket holder. You were, you know, pounding the drum of need to move on from Lalonde. And now that they are 2 points back of the cut line with so much hockey to play, 7 games in a row, and let's face it, a home game against San Jose should be 8. When does the car flag fly? When do you dust off and bring it out of mothballs?
They're still in the car, by the way. They're not obviously on the car.
Oh, that's something that just stays in the car. It's part of, like, it's like the ice scraper leaves in the summer, but you put it back in the winter. These stay in year-round?
They stay year-round in the car.
So
for such an occasion.
When does the car flag fly?
I don't want to be a hypocrite because I feel like they're better than last year and I feel like they're making the playoffs. It does feel a little early to be driving around town with car flags.
7 in a row doesn't get your juices flowing enough to say, hey, I'm a Red Wings fan. Look at me.
You jumped on it last year, so you believe more last year than this year?
No, I guess I should be wearing them. I should be
rocking
them. How
about this, at least? If they don't lose before Saturday night.
He talks about his car.
They play Saturday night, by the way, so Saturday night won't count. If they don't lose before Saturday night, you're going to be down at Buffalo Wild Wings doing the pregame show with Rico on Friday or Saturday, starting at 5 o'clock.
For the Lions playoff game. Is it weird to drive them to a Lions playoff game wearing?
This is where you show it.
They say they chant Jared Goff at Wings games, at Pistons games. Why can't you have a car flag for your Detroit team going down to another Detroit sport?
If it makes you feel better, get a Lions one too. Have one on each side.
This car might fly away.
And then a CMU one too.
It's going to ruin his. Well, it's not miles per gallon. Is it miles per kilowatt? Gigawatt?
I don't know.
50,000 gigawatts?
What does an electric shovel do?
What I was going to ask you, we can get into that if you'd like. The next Red Wing game I'm going to is January 23rd.
Okay.
They're in the playoffs on January 23rd. Do I just rock them from there on out?
5 games between now and then.
There's a good road stretch coming up. Florida, Tampa, Dallas. Really good tests for this hockey team. If they can take care of business, hold their water on the road, come back home.
So beat San Jose and what? Split the difference 2-2 on the road in that road trip?
They're probably right where they need to be at that point.
You know what? The Tigers won 2 of 3 at Camden Yards. They swept the Royals in KC. Buy in. Didn't we learn something from the Tigers?
Buy in. Car flag season. Are you guys all in with this team? Are you all the way back?
You didn't answer the question. We'll get an answer when we come back.
Oh, you're going to press me on this. All right, it's 97.1. Talk a little Red Wings hockey on a day that is dominated by Lions football. TJ Lang coming up at 9:02. We've talked a lot about the Commanders. If you just can't wait, you can go back, use the Odyssey Rewind. This is who John wanted, and I think it's an ideal matchup, and get some of those phone calls in the mix. The question for the Red Wings, are you bought all the way back in? Do you have playoffs on the brain? 7 straight wins, they've undone a disastrous start. Todd McClellan, more than a coaching bump, sure feels like it. Steve in Bloomfield Hills, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Just wanted to comment on the Red Wings. If you look before McClellan took over, when they got into the offensive zone, there's 3 lanes down the ice rink, left, center, and right. And when they got on the offensive zone, they would pass the puck from the left to maybe the center. If you look at how they're playing now, they're stretching the offensive zone, and the puck is going all the way across from the left to the early part of the right zone, which forces the goalie to go left and right. And when you do that, it creates obviously a larger opportunity for easier goals.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're using the full sheet of ice. There was too much one-and-done hockey. Like, I think back to Lalonde's last game. It was so painful against the Blues. Dump and chase. Just, hey, we get it in and then send it around the boards. Nobody's in the zone. Now they're getting 2 and 3 guys in the O zone, and the defense is helping with the breakout passes, and they're entering the zone as a unit, and then they can use the full sheet of ice. And all of a sudden, you're setting up shop in the other team's zone, and you're creating not just chances, but lots of chances and high quality chances, and you're putting pucks on the net and you're finding your teammates, and then it becomes infectious. You're playing effing hockey. Like, before you know it, all of a sudden, this team that was down in the dumps and was sulking, and all of a sudden they have life and juice, and they were never as bad as their record indicated. I mean, they were at one point 15th in the Eastern Conference. even if he didn't like Iserman's offseason, I thought they at least held serve and would be a team on the playoff bubble. And,
right.
and our thing is, hey, get over the hump. I think McClellan, if he was coaching him a year ago, they would have been the playoffs a year ago.
So they're back from the brink.
Yep.
What's your rule? Got to have a rule. What do you live by?
When playoffs are on the brain, you put the car flags on.
Are they on the brain?
I think I have to put the car flags on. Now I feel like what's happening here, I want to get out in front of this. You are setting me up, and a ticket texter is already
setting you up.
A ticket texter has already pointed this out. They're not going to go.
I'm just asking you to, instead of plant your flag, fly your flag.
They're going to lose at some point, and this is going to get pinned on me.
We all understand that. And texter says that. You are not priority waste.
Thank you. I think you meant that as a compliment. I'm going to take that as a compliment. But people are pointing out, as soon as Costa does this, it's going to undo all the mojo. But guys, it's a true test. If they are actually a playoff team.
Better do it against San Jose. Better do it now.
If they are actually a playoff team, then this isn't just a mirage of a coaching bump, and a couple car flags on a radio host vehicle isn't going to do them in either. So yeah, John, you know what? As stupid as it'll feel to be flying these flags, which are synonymous with April and May and playoff hockey, I'm feeling it right now.
You flying the flag has no impact on the team. Just like
you tell people that, because that's not how it's going.
If people want to say I'm arrogant about the Lions playing the Commanders, has no impact on the team or the game. This is what fans do. We want to be able to celebrate these great moments. We also can look and say a team is dominant. I'm not talking about the Wings. I'm talking about the Lions. So it's the same thing. It's not going to have any impact on the team. So fly your flag. Show your fandom.
Live
by a set of rules.
Yeah, and again, people. I'm seeing some ticket texts. Oh, you're a fair weather fan. Now you're going to fly the flag. I think if you're celebrating a lousy team.
Yeah, there was no reason to fly it.
No, okay, it would have been a bad taste. Now it's in good taste.
Yeah,
we'll take some more of those phone calls. Lions are going to be a huge part of the show the rest of the way. TJ Lang at 9:02. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, you guys, the future of a popular downriver Greek restaurant is uncertain after a fire ripped through it and destroyed the inside. Happened on Friday evening. Nearly 100 customers were inside the Auburn Cafe when this fire broke out. Thankfully, everyone got out safely, right? Nobody was injured, but of course, complete damage to the restaurant. The owner is calling it a temporary setback and does plan to rebuild and reopen, trying to raise some money from the community. It sounds like a lot of people love this restaurant. It's been there for 44 years in Ecorse, so a very, very popular restaurant. The cause of the fire is unknown yet at this time. So hopefully they're able to reopen and, you know, get their life back in order and their restaurant back open for everyone to go enjoy.
Yeah.
This is a funny story. Caleb Williams got pranked by a Lions fan and a fake Ben Johnson. So somehow a Lions fan or a couple of them got his number, okay? And they pretended to be Ben Johnson. And first they texted him and just said, hey, it's Ben Johnson, you know, wanted to reach out ahead of time before it's released to the media, but I'm going to be taking the new head coaching job and just saying how excited he was to work with him. And Williams, it sounds like, was skeptical at first, did respond, but then there was a FaceTime call where the whole prank unfolded. Clearly excited that they actually got to FaceTime.
Yeah.
John, is it a red flag that he fell for this? Should your franchise quarterback be falling for this?
Well, I mean, you would think that he would have called the boss's boss first and said, hey, you know, did we make a decision? And maybe he did. And he said, yeah. And so he was willing to fall for it. I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe he wants it to be true.
Yeah. Why not?
For sure. Yeah. Sounds like yeah, he does based on the text response back for sure. But kind of
well, he was respectful, as you would hope he would be.
He sure was. Tyler Perry, he has recently jumped on social media. This is on Sunday to call out insurance companies for canceling millions of policies in LA for these homeowners ahead of this disastrous wildfires, right? So in this lengthy statement, he wrote that he says, quote, does anyone else find it appalling that insurance companies can take billions of dollars out of the communities for years and then all of a sudden be allowed to cancel millions of policies for the very people they became rich on? People who have paid premiums all of their lives are left with nothing because of pure greed. And there's a lot of insurance companies, State Farm, Allstate, numerous other insurance companies that have either halted their policies or stopped providing policies in California altogether. Perry did say that he is trying to figure out ways that he can help as many people as he can as well.
I like that. You know, and with tonight's game got moved to State Farm Stadium. Okay, yeah. Whatever. You know, it's such a joke.
Yeah, you pay in, and then when you finally need to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And now most of the news coming out of California and the Los Angeles area is obviously just pure destruction, right, and just devastation. But there is a little bit of good news, at least for one Pacific Palisades man. He got some good news when he was reunited with his dog nearly a week after being forced to evacuate. So a lot of people, right? I mean, you think of the people first, right? You want everyone to get out safely, but there's a lot of people who have animals, and not all these animals are getting out as well. Well, this man was reunited with his dog Oreo after the dog was spotted walking in the rubble. Apparently, this dog had been like sleeping in the rubble of a neighbor's home for 5 days. And it was found alive and well, and they were reunited. The video is really heartwarming. You know, the guy's in tears holding his little dog. Kind of a miracle that this dog survived. So a little bit of good news, at least for this one man, for sure. Now, speaking of the fires, firefighters in L.A. did make some progress over the weekend. The fact that the wind kind of cooperated was a really big help for them. So that's good. However, as of last night, neither of the two biggest fires were anywhere close to being fully contained. That's the Palisades fire near Malibu and the Eaton fire near Pasadena. Thousands of homes are still at risk, but the flames did kind of at least move further away from the most populated areas. Yeah. So that is a little bit of good news. Unfortunately, the death toll has risen to 24. 16 of those people were killed in the Eaton fire. 8 others in the Palisades fire. It's so sad. It's so sad.
It's Heather with the news. One more quick one?
I'm good. We'll end there.
Okay, then.
I was confused on the time. Sorry, guys.
You're all right. We got a lot to do today. TJ Lang at 9:02. Want to make sure we're ready for him. Coming up next, the overreact gyms from the wild card weekend. It's 97.1.
Hey, if your New Year's resolution is to lose weight, you could get there a lot faster than you think with Ideal You. Go to idealyou.us now and you could lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 40 days. Whether your resolution is to lose 10 or 100 in the new year, Ideal You works, and it works fast. I lost 10 in the first 10 days. I lost 50 overall while I was on the program, and I've lost another 20 since then. So here's why I was able to stay with it, and here's why I was able to lose some more weight. It's real whole food. It's not shakes and bars, so you could stay with it even when you finish the program. Ideal You's weight loss coaches are going to be with you every step of the way. They're going to help you lose weight. They're going to help you keep it off. They want you to attain your goals. If you want to weigh less, go to idealyou.us. Ideal You is a Michigan-based weight loss company that has helped thousands of people just like me and you lose weight. In fact, over 90% of Ideal You customers, that's over 9 out of 10, have lost at least 20 pounds in just 40 days. If you want to weigh less, go to idealyou.us. You can sign up now, and you're going to get a $200 Visa gift card. Start the new year off right, lose weight, and get a $200 Visa gift card. If you want to weigh less, go to idealyou.us.